I got two amens out of that. Hallelujah. I'm going to work on you. You're going to be a wild bunch by the time I go home. You understand me? Amen. You'll be running the back of the chairs. Glory to God. I don't do that anymore, but I used to. I'd like you to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke 18. I want to talk about pursuing in prayer. I personally believe that the generator of every local church is what I call the prayer room, or the function of the body that will stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and protect the anointing. And prayer isn't just talking to God, it's listening to God, it's worship. You understand there's many aspects of prayer. But really it comes right down to, you know, tapping into the Holy Spirit and working with Him to accomplish what God wants to do. And thank God for praying in tongues, church. Thank God that, you know, you and I can bypass our understanding, pray in the Holy Spirit, and know that we're praying out the perfect will of God. I realize some of it is self-edification, and it builds us up. But understand who we're talking to. We're talking to the One who knows everything. And guess what He wants to do? I heard it this morning. He wants to reveal secrets and mysteries to you so that we can work with Him, not ahead of Him, not too far behind, but in the footsteps that He has already ordered for us. Can you say amen to that? So, did you find Luke 18? All right, let's start here. And He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men once in a while ought to take the time and pray. Is that the wrong version? Let me get the King James back out here, all right? And He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me out. Verse 6, and the Lord said, you know, when the Lord says something, we should put our ears on and allow to understand, God, I want revelation on what You're saying in this particular passage. He said, and the Lord said, hear. Do we have ears to hear? I believe we do. All right. Do we have the ability to do? I also believe we do, because my Bible says that you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So He says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them quickly, speedily. Amen. Oh, in the sweet by and by, when we all get into the glory realm. No, it's now. Now faith is. I want to engage you and engage our hearts together in unison on this, that God wants to do a speedy work in the earth. Do you understand me? I heard years ago, and you've probably heard it too, and I believe it come out of Brother Copeland. If not, I'll give him the credit for it. But he had a prophetic word over the body of Christ, and he says, in the days ahead, it's going to be an acceleration of time. And what used to take a year could take a month. What used to take a month could take a week. What used to take a week, and so on down into seconds. I've seen that acceleration. I don't know about you. It seems like, you know, here it is, almost Christmas season, all right? And it's like, I thought we were still back in the 4th of July, all right? So time is accelerated. I don't know how I got this old. Time is accelerated, all right? In other words, as you watch, and you know, I've been on the planet long enough to see, you know, the kids, the young people that were in my youth group, and now they're, some of them are granddads. I'm like, what? No, this couldn't have happened to me. Yeah, it did, all right? Well, so there's an acceleration of time, and I believe you all understand what I'm talking about. And I believe God wants to do a quick and speedy work in the earth today. I believe that we are a generation to prepare the generation that we're influencing to see and to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm wrong, we'll take it up in heaven, okay? But between now and then, I'm going to live my life like he's coming back at any time. Because why? I want to be ready, and I want to help you be ready, and we got to help others get ready. Can you shout amen? So in looking at this, he says, which cry night and day unto him, though he bear long with him. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Where at? On the earth. Now, in 18:1, let's back up. I want to expound a little bit on this if I can. Always to pray and not to faint. Say always to pray and not to faint. Now that word faint, you're going to find it means not to lose heart. One writer says, do not give in to doubt, fear, unbelief, discouragement, or use excuses for unbelief when prayer is not answered immediately. Rebuke and resist all opposition to the answer and all suggestions of failure. It is a divine, blood-bought right to get an answer to those who do not lose heart. Let me read that one more time. It is a divine, blood-bought right to get an answer. Do not lose heart. In the Amplified version, it says this: also Jesus told them a parable to this effect, that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, not to faint, not to lose heart, and don't give up. Now in verse 6, jump to verse 6 with me, it says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So this word avenge means to grant justice, basically. It says, in the Amplified, it says, and he will, our just God, defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones. Now, I want to stop there. You are his chosen ones. Are you with me? I want you to agree with me. It's not a feeling. You are his chosen ones. Who cry to him day and night, he will defer them, or will he defer them and delay them of their on their behalf? Question mark. I tell you, he will defend, protect, and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistent faith in and on the earth? Will he find faith in me? Will he find faith in you? And will he find faith here? I believe he will. Can you shout amen? Now, which cry night and day to him, I want you to put your faith on these scriptures that I'm about to give you. See, faith comes by hearing, not having heard. Now, I know they're very familiar scriptures to you, but I'm going to ask you to meditate on them. I'm going to ask you to take them home. And, you know, as you meditate on, dissect the truths in these scriptures. Because why? I believe this is a now word for you, for us here as a church, and for what lies ahead of us. In Psalm 34, verse 15 and through 17, I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. You can follow along some way. Verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are towards the uncompromising righteous. Say, that'd be us. And his ears are open to their cry. Now understand, New Covenant, New Testament, you and I are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're not righteous in ourselves. We're righteous because we have allowed him to make us righteous. Him who knew no sin, he became our sin so that you and me might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you and I stand here totally righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice, because of the precious blood that he shed on your behalf and my behalf. Can you shout amen? He says, the eyes of the Lord are towards the uncompromising righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. That'd be us. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That is not us. Say, that's not me. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. Say, the Lord hears. And delivers them out of a few of their distresses and troubles. Does it say all? Wow, isn't that cool? How much is all? I know you guys are all theologians, all right? You're so far beyond me. So we all agree that all really means all? I mean, if you study it out and you go into the Hebrew and the Greek and you go into tongues, you'll find out it's all. Can you say amen? So the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their distresses and troubles. Now, look at this with me, if you would, please. The cry for help in verse 17, and I'll go into the Hebrew, and I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar by any chance, but you're going to find out that, you know, when you got a computer, you can just pop it. Bang, there it is. And the one program I use, it'll even tell you how it's pronounced. So it's just awesome. So Tefka, it's how it's actually spelled is S-A-A-Q. And it means cry in 17. And this word means, it was given, defined as cry 44 times. Gather together 4 times. Cry out 3 times. At all one, called one, gathered one, called together one. Now, the prime root of this particular Hebrew word means to proclaim an assembly. Huh, isn't that interesting? Called together, cry out, gather themselves together. Now in verse 8 of Luke 18, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I hope I put a thought in your minds. That means when we cry out, part of our cry is not just by ourselves. It's together. Where unity is, where there's agreement, there's power. Psalm 133, there God manifested a blessing, life forevermore. In verse 8 of Luke 18, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, I searched this word out. I wanted to make certain that I wasn't giving you wrong information this morning. And you're going to find out in the Greek, it's T-A-C-H-O-S, and you can pronounce that if you'd like. I'm not going to. It means a brief space of time. Say, a brief space of time. It means in haste, quickly, shortly, speedily. Now, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? The key to speedily understanding is your persistent faith-filled prayers. Did you hear me? God honors faith. God honors faith-filled prayers. Not doubt-filled prayers, not prayers that, oh, I hope so. Prayers that are given and spoken out with a heart of faith in believing that God not only hears, but he gives us the results that we're asking for. Can you say amen? Now, in seeing the key to speedily in our lives here and in what God has in the future for us as a church, it means persistent, faith-filled prayer. Now, back out to cry. It, you know, part of it is a call together to cry out, to gather. I feel like I have an opportunity to welcome you to gather together in corporate intercession and prayer. There's one that goes on here, and I've been able to join it now for the last 3 weeks. And I'm so touched and so blessed to be a part of that prayer group. And I'm thinking, why aren't we in the sanctuary and why ain't the church filled with people? Now that's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You understand the truth. But I'm thinking, Lord, we need corporate intercession to another level. That's the generator in this house that's going to produce and get the results that we need as a church. And God wants results. You understand me? I believe this is a powerhouse. I believe that the word level in here is beyond understanding. And because of that, the faith level has got to be to the height. But if we don't put our faith to work and use our faith, we're just sitting on a keg of dynamite. And I don't know about you, I don't want to blow up. I want to be an expression of His glory so that God can get things done and we can bring the harvest in. And one of the keys is going to be the healing ministry of this house. And I'm not saying that you're not praying for the sick. I'm not saying that you're not only functioning already in that aspect of the ministry. But I know what Pastor Bill shared with me, it's going to be on a whole new level. It's going to be on a level that is going to absolutely, I believe, change this region of Pennsylvania. Can you agree with me? It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take prayers of intercession coming out of the heartbeat of this church. And I'm inviting you, okay? I'm not going to be there Wednesday, but I know Brother Phil's in charge of that. I guarantee you, if they have to move out of the prayer room and move in here, they'll find seats for you. You understand me? So I'm inviting you to join that. I've had an opportunity to join the prayer group here on Sunday mornings, and I'm so blessed with the hearts of this house, the love and the compassion and the desire to see God just manifest His presence, His glory, and the extension of what He wants to do, you know, throughout this church and throughout your lives. My friends, you're already being prayed for, but I'm inviting you to come and join them, to allow the spirit of prayer to come in this house to a new level so that we could join our hearts together in intercession, in praise, in worship, and see the glory of God change every one of us. And we'll go from faith to faith, glory to glory, and the glory of God that you carry will manifest everywhere you go in the earth, because God's glory is the manifestations of His presence, and the manifestation of His presence wants to invade planet earth. And when He manifests, everything changes. When He manifests, miracles, signs and wonders, demonstrations of who He is will be extended through the hands that are carrying the compassion and the mercy of God to reach out to a generation that is destitute, that is without hope, that is without help. But understand, you are the answer, and you carry the answer, and you are the anointed of this day and hour, and you are the church of the living God, and He has raised you up for such a time as this, and the church will extend and manifest the glory of God in the earth, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I said they will not prevail against it, and you and I can't let them do it, because why? We have the authority on this earth. We've been given a name that is above every name, and you and I have authority to take hold of everything God has and to proclaim His goodness and mercy, that His love will be extended and that His power will come forth, and the manifestations of the great Holy Ghost will invade this earth, and we'll see. I believe we'll see the greatest harvest man has ever dreamed of seeing throughout all history. This is our hour, church. This is your day. You were born for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Can you shout amen? See, I told you, time's accelerated. I just started, and it's noon, and I'm not done. Can I have 5 minutes? You guys are sharp, aren't you? I'm taking 5 minutes, all right, whether you give it to me or not. I'll try to be brief. I know you guys have busy lives. I am so, so blessed to be here with you. So blessed. I want to read this last passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And you can just come up while I read it, if you don't mind. And I'm going to call you as a church to dedicate a prayer of dedication. If part of that prayer is just dedicating back to his lordship, that's cool. But I believe that God is speaking to us today is that we would dedicate our lives to the ministry of prayer together. And what that looks like for you, I can't tell you. But I know God knows, and I know what he wants to see and do and establish in this house. And I believe that this house is a house of prayer. And I believe the stronger we become in the ministry of prayer, the more effective the healing ministry will be, the more effective your life will be, the more effective the functions of this house will be, whether it's in, you know, the distributing of food to the needy, or whether it's just a friendly handshake to somebody in the marketplace and just an encouraging word. That will change everything. Because why? I believe when we pray, and especially we're given to the Holy Spirit, and we pray out the perfect will of God, I believe that's when doors open. I believe that that's a time when you and I can just walk in the grace of God, and we can just show up, and it's like the path is already made. The devils are already gone, and all you got to do is step up, and he'll fill your mouth, he'll use your voice, and the next thing you know, you're stepping back and saying, wow, that was cool. I wished I had that on tape, all right? Because why? There's a prophetic utterance that's going to come out of you. Well, I'm here. I'm going to expect it. You understand me? That's part of the function that God called me to. I believe there's a release of the prophetic utterances. I believe comes with that words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I believe that the prophetic voice, that means tongues, interpretation, and that don't underestimate the power gifts. But I want encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ. You catch what the Spirit of God is saying through this season. Because why? God wants to bring you into a level where you know things, where you're tapping into the spirit of seeing and knowing, so that when you get there, you know exactly what to do, you know what to say. You're not caught by surprise. Because why? You've already been there in the spirit, and you know what God's up to, and you become a co-laborer together with him, and you are his voice in the earth. Can you shout amen? Are you ready? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Agree with me in faith over these two scriptures. And this is the confidence. I said, this is the confidence that we at Abundant Life Center have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you know his will because you know his word, he hears us. And if we know, say, I know. We know he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire him. The Moffat translation says this: now the confidence we have in him is this, that he listens to us whenever we ask anything according to his will. You know, it's his will that all men will be saved.
Yes.
And if we know he listens to whatever we ask, we know we obtain the request we have made known to him. The Young's translation, which is a very original text, it says, and if we have known that he doeth hear us, whatever we may ask, we have known that we, notice that word we, sounds like gather together to me, doesn't it? That we have known that we have the requests that we have requested of him. But one more time, because I'm going to ask we, you, me, to make a consecration, a dedication to the ministry of prayer for this house, for our nation, for the ministry of the Word, of the Spirit, the ministry internationally. I believe this is a revival center. I absolutely do. And I absolutely want to see the revival flow from here everywhere that God would have us extend our abilities in the days that lie ahead. To focus on the cry together as the call together to prevail in prayer and intercession on behalf of the ministry here, on behalf of what God does when bringing in the man or the family that is called to pastor this great church, because we're not settling for anything but the best. Do you hear me? Amen. And we are not going to allow anything distract us from our faith and believing that our God has the very best for this house. Can you shout amen? Amen. Now, we known that we have, say we, the request that we, say
we,
humor me,
we,
say that'd be me,
and
that'd be you. The request we requested from him. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. As your brother, as your friend, as a minister of this precious word, as a man that loves you, as a man that is dedicated to see you come in and fulfill what God has called this house to do. When God shows me things, I take them very, very serious. I don't like to put pressure on people, but I like to give people opportunity. And I believe the spirit of prayer that rests upon our lives is going to manifest to greater heights, greater glory, and greater manifestations of answers that we cry out for. And it will take a corporate, unified church working together to accomplish what God wants to do, so that we see that no devil in hell can stop us. Nothing can distract us. That we together are an arrow in the quiver of the Lord God Almighty. And that arrow is going to hit the destination to fulfill God's divine orders, his assignments, and his vision for this house. And it's not a one-man show. It's a body of believers that stand together, that connect their shields together, that love one another, and pray, intercede, stand in the gap, and do what God shows them to do individually, and God shows them to do corporately. This altar is open as they minister. There's no pressure here, but I will. If you have not done this, I ask you in the name of Jesus to take the time today before you leave these doors to dedicate or rededicate your life to a life of prayer that's beyond wherever you are right now. And I'm not saying you're not praying. That's not at all what I'm saying. But God wants you to go deeper. He wants you to go into his heart in a whole new light, because there's some great things ahead of us. In Jesus' name.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you, from you, I know it's from you are all things, and to you are all, I know it's from you are all, and to you are all things, you deserve the glory, day and night, day and night. House, O God, day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, I know day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense. Oh, you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are, from you are all things, to you are all things, blessed from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. On my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Oh, your praise will ever be on my lips. You will be praised, you will be praised. Saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord. Our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of his mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, we cry. Comforter and praise, one the comforter and pray. You're all light, all hope. You're all light, oh God. You're
preparations that take place in each heart. Preparations that prepare us for purpose, for the fulfillment of divine destiny. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. It's one step after another. One act of obedience after another act of obedience. But willingness takes a place, and willingness needs to be a part, a vital part of each and every one of our lives. The willingness to submit, and then the willingness to carry out what we've submitted to. As you and I, we draw closer to Him, and He becomes closer and closer and closer to us, individually and also corporately as a church. You will find that you are prepared when you make that step through the threshold, through the doorway, into that which He has prepared you for. You won't be taken by surprise. You won't be taken in a way where it'll set you back, because of your willingness and then your obedience on your everyday walk with Him. You'll find out that that grace is more than enough. It's always sufficient. And that you can run and not be weary. That you can soar above the situations, the problems, the obstacles that will try to stop you from moving forward into your divine purpose. So allow the preparations to take place and allow your hearts to yield and to be willing and obedient to do what He shows you to do every day. Thank you, Lord. Well, I love you very, very much.